So joining us now is John Francis, who's a former United Nations Goodwill Ambassador. He's the founder of something called Planet Walk, which is a nonprofit environmental education organization, and author of Planet Walker, 22 Years of Walking, 17 Years of Silence. And we're grateful that he broke his vow of silence to join us this morning. John Francis, good morning.
Good morning, John.
The reason why we asked you on the program, you're going to be speaking at the TEDx conference devoted to focusing on the oil gusher in the Gulf of Mexico, right?
Yeah, I will be with many other speakers.
Indeed. And your life, it seems to me, focuses on this issue when a problem is profoundly intractable, that it either defies in scale or engineering expertise any immediate solution. For some of us, particularly those of us concerned about the environment, all you're left with is a kind of personal symbolic sacrifice to make a point about either the environment or a cause that you believe in. Describe how you came to that point on an environmental disaster some years ago.
Well, it was an oil spill in San Francisco Bay in 1971 that happened. Two tankers collided, and I went with my girlfriend to see. It was the first environmental catastrophe that really happened to me that I've experienced. And the thing that was so impressed upon me was that the smell was something that you just couldn't turn away from, and it kind of clung to things. And when we drove back to our home in Inverness in California, about 20 miles away, the smell still stuck with us, and I really wanted to do something. I wanted to get out and start walking. But my girlfriend said, you know, you need money to do that, and we didn't have any, and so I just kind of figured out, okay, I'll wait until I get some money. And then a friend died, and he was about the same age as I was, and he symbolized for me the fact that, you know, we only have right now. He had everything. He had a good job, a beautiful family, and he was gone in just a minute, due to a boating accident. And so I decided to celebrate his life to start walking to a dance. And once I went to the dance and was on my way back home, it was like 20 miles away, so we had to sleep overnight there. That's when I decided that, you know, listen, we only have right now. There's no guarantees that there's going to be a tomorrow even. And so I'm going to keep walking because that's really what I wanted to do.
So this combination of a sense of mortality at the death of your friend, plus this overwhelming sense of outrage over the 1971 oil spill in the San Francisco Bay Area, and you decided instead of doing something that involved activism or advocacy, you would swear off any sort of engine-driven cars, and at a certain point, you decided to stop speaking altogether. What did you hope to accomplish with that?
Well, you know, when I first stopped riding in all motorized vehicles, so planes and trains and buses, and I started walking, in my little community, people started arguing with me about what one person could do. And quite frankly, I thought that everybody would join me and start walking. That was what I had thought at first, but naively. Because of the arguing, and I found myself arguing all the time, I decided that I was going to not speak for one day on my 27th birthday. So I gave up speaking for one day, and that really changed my life. I mean, I realized I hadn't been listening to people. I would always just listen to just enough to think I knew what someone was going to say, and then I would stop listening and start thinking about what I was going to say back to show them I knew more, or I was smarter, or they were wrong. And so I decided I was going to not speak for, another day, just because I was learning so much about myself and about life. And ended up, I wouldn't speak for a year, and I would just revisit that on my birthday.
And you went for 17.
I finally didn't start speaking until 17 years later.
Now some people are going to say, well, okay, he doesn't speak for 17 years. He doesn't use motorized vehicles. The guy must have a trust fund, right?
I wish. No, I live very, very simply. I lived on the road. People were kind to me enough sometimes to afford me a cabin somewhere if they, you know, weren't living in it. Or I worked as a oyster tender. And,
right. Well, and it was a monastic existence. I mean, which yeah. quite literally is what monks do. They do things like this. So I guess the question is there a lesson in the discipline involved in pursuing this for so long that bears on the solution for a crisis as difficult as the Gulf oil crisis?
Well, as I walked across the United States, I stopped and I went to school until I educated myself and was educated in environmental studies until I reached the East Coast and had a PhD in environmental studies from Gaylord Nelson Institute for Environmental Studies in Wisconsin, and was able to actually help write the oil pollution regulations for the United States in Washington, D.C., on the OPA Oil Pollution Act of 1990 after the Exxon Valdez happened.
Well, it's quite a journey. John Francis, former U.N. Goodwill Ambassador, founder of Planet Walk, a nonprofit environmental education organization. He'll be speaking at the TEDx conference in Washington, D.C. on how to confront the oil spill, a man who for 22 years walked and for 17 years was silent in protest to environmental degradation. Thank you, John.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.